You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Boise is still mourning the loss of two community members who were killed from a shooting Monday at the Boise Town Square Mall. 26-year-old Jo Aker was killed in her role as a mall security guard, and 49-year-old Roberto Padilla Igueyas of Rupert died later from his injuries at the hospital. Gun violence, it is not new to Idaho, but as we think about what can be done to stop more shootings in the future, we need to understand how we get here. Here to help us think about this is Heath Druzan. Heath is a freelance reporter with a background of covering gun violence. Heath, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be here, Gemma.
And a content warning for our listeners. We will be discussing suicide and mental health in this segment. If you are struggling, know there is help. You can call 800-273-8255. Heath, first, you have written about the misperceptions in regards to American gun violence. Can you talk a little bit about where mass shootings fit into all of this?
Yeah, you know, I have done a lot of reporting on that. And to be clear, you know, every time something like this happens, it's just an unimaginable tragedy. And it's terrifying, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we all go shopping and it's a sort of everyday activity. And when something like this happens in such a public place, it's understandable that that these kind of events, these kind of mass shootings become so front of mind for people. When it comes to actual gun deaths, though, they are a tiny fraction of gun deaths in America. And we did some polling when I was at Guns in America and looked at what people thought were causing the most gun deaths. And they sort of had it backwards. In reality, the most gun deaths by far in America come in the form of suicide, unfortunately. And why people downplay that, you know, it's hard to know, but I think a lot of it still has to do with the stigma that's attached to it and the lack of open dialogue we have. And then what people sort of overvalued as contributing to gun deaths were mass shootings like this. And that's really understandable. I think that, you know, the reason for that is more straightforward. I mean, it gets a lot of coverage, understandably. Mm-hmm. It's very dramatic. And, you know, a lot of people get killed and injured in these things, and it really shakes the community. But in the grand scheme of things, mass shootings, it's almost a sort of statistically, and I should say statistically, negligible fraction of American gun deaths. There's just so many other gun deaths through, you know, other murders and suicides and even accidents.
You know, Keith, some people in our community reacted with shock when this shooting happened on Monday. How did you react? I mean, were you surprised at all?
I mean, I'm always shocked when something like this happens. Yeah. And that, you know, I'm a human being and it is shocking. I can't say I was surprised that it happened in Boise. I think a lot of us in a place like Boise, where there's, you know, very little crime, it's a very safe community, I think we kind of get into this mindset that maybe it can't happen here. Even though we all know that's not really true, I'm guilty of this too. You know, we get this idea that somehow we're exceptional. But I mean, the fact is that this is a national problem. And Boise's been very lucky in that it hasn't had a lot of events like this. It hasn't had to deal with this for mm-hmm. the most part. But you know, I guess the answer is I wasn't surprised that it happened here, because we're just as vulnerable as any other community, unfortunately.
You know, this morning on our morning edition broadcast, our host George Prentice spoke with Boise Police Chief Ryan Lee. And when George asked what about the abundance of guns has to do with shootings like this, you know, Chief Lee talked instead about mental health care. And Heath, where does mental health care fit into the picture of mass shootings?
Well, first I will say I don't envy the position Chief Lee is in. He's in a very difficult position because not only is he dealing with a horrific tragedy in the community, but he's in a state that is very, 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 very protective of gun rights and a very politically explosive issue. So I do understand mm-hmm. the position he's in. And I also say, hey, yes to better mental health care. is always a good thing. And, you know, there are some gun issues that have to do with mental health care that could be related, called red flag laws. These would allow a judge or police to temporarily take guns from people deemed to be a threat to themselves or others. Some conservatives see these as unconstitutional, but the vast majority of Americans support them. Even Donald Trump did, actually. Here's the problem I find when we kind of immediately pivot to mental health on an issue like this. First of all, we actually don't know right now. We don't know if the shooter was dealing with mental health issues. So I think it's premature. And I think when we do that prematurely, it can stigmatize the many people who do have mental health issues, the vast, vast majority who never cause violence. In fact, people with mental health issues are more susceptible to being victims of violence. And I, you know, ignoring easy access to guns when talking about gun violence in the U.S., I don't think we can ignore that. Now, I'm not saying that gun control necessarily is going to stop gun violence, because frankly, there's 400 million guns on the streets in America right now, and they're not going away, and it's a very complicated issue. But, you know, and we have a Second Amendment, obviously, that, you know, protects gun rights. People will argue to what degree, but certainly it's there. But it really is hard to ignore the easy availability of guns, because, you know, there's a lot of our peers, like, say, Germany, Britain, rich countries in Europe, that have a lot of similarities to us. But the one big difference is they don't have a lot of guns and they don't have easy access to guns. So it's something that I think we can't ignore and we have to talk about.
And whatever his mental health status was, the suspect in this, it is clear that the suspected shooter, I mean, he's had some pretty disturbing things on social media. So what do we know so far?
Yeah, there's some really disturbing stuff on his YouTube channel, which has since been taken down. I can't say it any other way. There were vile, racist screeds. And some really violent ideology. His two main topics seem to be, frankly, racism. He had some specific screeds against, Latinx people. And then he was really sort of aggrieved about, being a felon and, in his mind, having his gun rights curtailed because he is a felon. His YouTube channel, again, it's been taken down. So, you know, I haven't been able to see everything, but he was a fairly prolific poster, really talking a lot about his hatred for non-white people.
Heath, I understand you actually talked with someone who actually had some interactions with the suspect at a local gym.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. I started talking to this guy because he had actually had some screenshots of the since removed YouTube channel, and it turns out he went to the same gym as the shooter, and he actually wasn't very surprised when this happened, because he had already been kind of disturbed by the guy's behavior. He said that the shooter every time he came to the gym, he'd come armed. He'd have a pistol on his hip and he'd work out with his gun. And that kind of freaked this guy out, just partly because obviously you worry about an accident, right? You don't know what kind of training this guy has. But he became more disturbed because he noticed that the shooter would always wear a shirt with this YouTube channel on it. And it was actually the shooter's YouTube channel. He was basically advertising it to fellow gym goers. And when this person I talked to went and saw all the racist and violent content on it, he said he really, really was shaken. And actually, he would stop going to the gym when he saw the shooter's bike outside and knew he was in there. He would just turn around and work out at a different time because he was scared. It turns out he probably had pretty good instincts there.
Yeah. So Heath, what do we know and what don't we know, I should say, about the weapon that the suspect used?
Yeah. So we don't know a lot right now. Chief Lee said that that he had multiple weapons, including at least one handgun. And I know that's a lot of, that's a question in a lot of people's minds. You know, they think about semi-automatic rifles like AR-15s that are a really controversial issue in this country. But right now, we don't know a ton about that, other than apparently he was very well armed, had multiple guns, and had a lot of ammunition. But I will say, you know, there's a lot of nuance to the conversation, but the vast majority of gun deaths in this country are handguns.
And Heath, Representative Priscilla Giddings, she is, we should note, running for lieutenant governor. She posted a note that blamed the shooting on the Boise Town Square Mall prohibiting firearms. Is there evidence that rules like this raise the risk of shootings?
Okay, so sorry for the emails you're going to get, but the short answer is no. I know people are going to be upset about that, but let me explain. Mm-hmm. The only research that really says that is by a gun rights advocate named John Lott, whose methodology has received a lot of criticism. Now, on the other side of things, there's another study by gun control advocates, Every Town for Gun Safety, which showed that most shootings did not occur in gun-free zones. Both of these sources clearly have agendas. So really, it's a long way of saying it's hard to say for sure. There just really isn't convincing evidence either way. So I think Giddings is a little bit out. I don't think she has much to back that up, but there's not a whole lot to back up basically either argument. So that makes for a very unsatisfying answer, but we don't know.
So as we wrap up, what are you watching with this story as it continues to unfold and move forward?
You know, I don't want to speculate too much. But I think we need to, I think what I'm really watching is his motivations, given the racism in his YouTube channel and the sort of violent ideology he had. You know, it's hard not to kind of go to an even darker place than just the mass shooting and think about if he was targeting specific people. I don't know. I think we're going to find out more as the police delve a little bit deeper into some of the stuff that's been taken down. But that's what I'm really looking for. I mean, I think we all want to know why, right? I mean, this is such a senseless act, and we want a little closure as to at least to what motivated him.
Well, I appreciate you coming in and talking about this as we all continue to wait to see if we figure out more about this. We have been speaking with freelance reporter and a regular voice right here on Boise State Public Radio, Heath Druzan. Heath, it's always good to have you on the program.
Thanks, Gemma.
More Idaho Matters next.